Misericordia Domini, plena est terra, alleluia. Verbo Dei, celi firmati sunt, alleluia.
Of January 2020, Mark 3, 7-12. Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the lakeside, and great crowds from Galilee followed him, from Judea and from Jerusalem, and from Idumea and Transjordan and the region of Tyre and Sidon. Great numbers who had heard of all he was doing came to him. And he asked his disciples to have a boat ready for him, because of the crowd, to keep him from being crushed. For he had cured so many that all who were afflicted in any way were crowding forward to touch him. And the unclean spirits, whenever they saw him, would fall down before him and shout, "You are the Son of God." But he warned them strongly not to make him known. Flocks of people came to Jesus to be healed by him. There were so many that Jesus even had to distance himself from them by getting into a boat. You can well imagine how people acted. Suddenly, they had hope and healings actually happened. And he healed many, as it says here in the text. In another part of the scriptures, it even says that Jesus healed all those who came to him. This message had spread, and so they came from everywhere. We can see how much God takes care of people. He does not only have compassion for people who are like sheep, who have no shepherd. No, also the physical suffering lasts Jesus, and he comes to help. The message is clear. God has mercy on the whole situation of man, his physical and mental suffering. He expects faith from man, that he will approach him with confidence, and that his hope will be in him, that he will hold on him. You, O Lord, can help me. This was a case when the Son of God was on earth, but this mercy of God is still valid today. God never overlooks the suffering of man and includes the suffering in his plan of salvation, even though this may be difficult for us to understand. However, God does not always directly heal the suffering, even though this happens. But God will always stand by the suffering person who calls upon him and strengthen him from within. That there is suffering in this world is a problem for many people, and also sometimes a question to God, or even brings with it a doubt about God. Who wants to suffer? It seems without sense, as if against our human nature. Yes, it is a sign of death that is coming upon us. We cannot avoid this death, which is also difficult to understand. In faith, we should even consciously approach it. Faith teaches us that although the death is an enemy, he is also the last stage, but he is also the last stage to encounter God in his glory. Suffering reminds us of the circumstances in our lives. It reminds us of our fragility. It reminds us that we will not stay on earth forever, that God has prepared something better for us. Like the people in the gospel, we can approach Jesus with confidence, hoping for his help. It will come. And if it is a help to better deal with suffering, to learn to integrate it into our lives, even to accept it sometimes as our teacher, because it reminds us of our earthly limits. If we learn to deal with suffering the right way, it can make us more humble, perhaps also more sensitive to the suffering of other persons. But it can also make us bitter if we close ourselves in suffering, surrendering ourselves to accusations against God, against circumstances, and perhaps also against other people. But it should not be like this. In the encounter with Jesus, suffering should be touched by him and transformed. As much as it is justified to turn to Jesus with the greatest trust, even to ask him instantly, it is important as a believer to consciously leave it to Jesus how he deals with our suffering, how he wants to touch it. There's another incident in today's text that makes us sit up and take notice. There is not only talk of sickness, but also of possessed people falling down before Jesus and crying out, "You are the Son of God." Possessed people are those who are under a concrete influence of demons. The evil spirit can even dwell in them. This is also possible today, especially when people are involved with things that belong to the realm of magic or are in similar areas of occultism. Other passages of the New Testament report that Jesus cast out the evil spirits. In today's text, we hear that Jesus did not want the evil spirits to testify to who he is. Why does the Lord not want this? The demons are telling the truth in a certain sense. They even fall down before him in this possessed people. Jesus is the Son of God, and we should worship him. We too can and should fall down before him. Doesn't it matter who proclaims Jesus? The main thing is that it happens. But the evil spirits fear Jesus. They have to confess God, because he meets them in omnipotence as judge. They do not love Jesus. Their falling down before him is not an act of love and humility, but they have to do it because of the omnipotence of God. But Jesus wants to be witnessed differently. It is a testimony of the Holy Spirit who reveals to us the true image of God, just as Jesus reveals to us the goodness of the Father. The Lord wants to be witnessed in love and not primarily in fear and terror, and especially not in the way of demons. That is why it is important for us believers not to concern ourselves too much with the activities and witnesses of the devil. He does not give us a true image of God, even if he seems to be telling the truth. Let us not be fascinated by the darkness. Instead, let us turn to the Lord with confidence. "You, Lord, take care of my infirmities. I will proclaim your goodness and your mercy."
The Introitus of today says, "The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made."
Misericordia Domini, plena est terra, alleluia. Verbo Dei, celi firmati sunt, alleluia. Hallelujah.